This is the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. We welcome you to listen to our service today. We hope you enjoy the broadcast.
When shadows fall and and the night covers all. There are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? When I'm alone and I face the unknown, and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus?
To the Gospel of John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We ended our series last Sunday morning in a sermon entitled Elijah Waiting on a Whirlwind. We understand that at some point in time God made it clear that the days of Elijah were drawing to a close and God was going to take him up to heaven. Elijah was in the process of training the next prophet of Israel. We know his name is Elisha when God decided to take him. Elijah's life was one of whirlwind activity. It seemed like Elijah was here and he was there and he was doing this and doing that for the Lord. He was always on the go, going somewhere, doing something. We pondered a question as we began last Sunday morning. What am I doing right now while I wait for God to call me home? We looked at three ways that Elijah spent his time as he waited on God to take him. We looked at those three ways. As I stated as we began, all of us need to be watching and waiting for the Lord. That is something that Scripture reminds us of over and over again in the New Testament. Watch and wait. Watch and wait. The first of those ways that Elijah spent his time was this. He walked with purpose. He walked with purpose. Elijah was busy up until the day when the Lord took him. He was busy doing something. As I stated, there will never come a day when we can quit serving the Lord. We are always to be serving the Lord. Number two, the second way was that he walked with progress, and we looked at all the places that he went. Gilgal, you recall, was the point of salvation. Bethel was the point of surrender. Jericho was the point of battle, and Jordan was the point of transfiguration. Number three, he walked with power. We talked about two ways to experience the blessings of God. The first was to desire the anointing of God in your life. And number two was never be afraid to ask God big things. We looked at how Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of his spirit right before Elijah was taken up. Elijah was greatly used of God because he was dependent upon the power of God working through his life. He knew the time was coming when God would take him from earth, but he knew not when. And until God took him up in a whirlwind, Elijah walked with purpose, he walked with progress, and he walked with power. And I encourage us as we close that may God help us to follow the example of Elijah and be faithfully laboring until our life is complete. You should be in John chapter 4 by now. Would you look with me at verses 1 through 10? John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 10. Would you join me in standing if you're able this morning as we publicly honor the reading of God's Word? Follow along in your Bible as I begin reading in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So as he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his travel, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." You may be seated. This morning we're going to take a break from the prophets from the Old Testament. We'll come back to Elisha someday in the future. We're going to start a brand new sermon series entitled Encountering Jesus, Life is Never the Same. Encountering Jesus, Life is Never the Same. Today and in the weeks to come, we're going to look at some of the individuals that came face to face with Jesus. People from all walks of life. People with all kinds of problems, both physical as well as spiritual. And we're going to see how when they encountered Jesus, their lives were never the same. They were always different. But before we jump into that new series, let's look to the Lord and ask His direction for our time and study of His Word this morning. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, would you help us now as we open up your Word? Father, as we begin this brand new series on those that encountered Jesus, those whose lives were forever changed, Father, may it be a reminder to us that we, those of us that have trusted Christ as Savior, that our lives have changed in tremendous ways. And Father, perhaps there's someone here today that has not encountered Jesus yet for themselves. They do not know that Jesus loves them, that He died on the cross for them, came to save them from their sins. Father, would you help them through this message to see, as the woman at the well, that Jesus Christ offers to them something they could not ever obtain on their own, the gift of eternal life. Father, help us as we study your word. May the Holy Spirit search our minds, search our hearts, show us things from Scripture this morning that we can apply. And we can leave here today having not only done business with God, but having been once again reminded of all that Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, "The Woman at the Well." The woman at the well. You ever met someone that has changed your life forever? Perhaps you have a friend, a co-worker, that has changed your life. That because of knowing that person, it has radically changed how you do, how you think, what you do. There is somebody that has radically changed my life, and that would be my grandpa. Grandpa radically changed life, and that before I really got to know grandpa all of that well, I was not good at catching fish. Now, having spent time with Grandpa, having been around with Grandpa, if you walk in my office, you find I have a problem with fishing. I enjoy it way too much. Somebody that transformed my life. And then there's my dad. I never used to be a deer hunter at all. In fact, I told my dad in high school, I said, why on earth would you want to sit in a tree stand and freeze in the middle of December to try and shoot some poor measly deer that walks by? Guess who sat in a poor measly deer stand last year waiting for a poor soul deer to walk by? I did. Your life changes. People impact your life. You read over and over again about these alien encounters that they supposedly have and how these people's lives are forever changed. I want to tell you, there is someone who is no alien, and he has greatly changed your life. And if you're here today, you understand that he's changed your life. His name is Jesus Christ. And every person that he encountered on his earthly ministry and every person that encounters him today and the truth of who he is, their life is never the same. Your life has changed because you know Jesus Christ if you're a child of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, can I encourage you? Your life will change when you meet Jesus Christ. And I want to show you through the coming weeks these people in Scripture that met Jesus. People that had problems. They had messy lives. And they met Jesus. And you know what? The problems didn't disappear. But Jesus showed them the answer to all of those problems. The answer to all of life's problems can be found in the person of Jesus. Spiritual, physical, financial, emotional. And that list could go on and on and on. Jesus is the answer. Amen? He's the answer to our world. He's the answer to our society. The problems. Family problems. Jesus is the answer. We all have needs. That's why this is such a practical series. We all have needs. If I asked you this morning, do you have needs? You would say yes, and you list them off. We all have needs. We have a God who can meet those needs. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and verse 19, he gave us this promise, my God shall supply all of your need according to the riches of his grace in glory by Christ Jesus. Every need that you have can be found in Jesus Christ. This story in John chapter 4 is one that you are very familiar with, especially if you have gone to church for most of your life, if you've been a child in Sunday school, you've heard this story taught. There have been songs that have been written about it, sermons that have been preached about it. But I want you to notice one thing as we jump into the text this morning that is not normal. Look with me, if you would, at verse 1. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, verse 2, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, verse 3, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now I want you to underline verse number 4 this morning. There's a break in thought. Jesus is busy. He's doing ministry. He's out interacting with people. And you get to verse number 4, and it's as if the ministry all of a sudden goes a different direction. You notice verse number 3. He left Judea, and he departed again to Galilee. And then you have the conjunction, the famous conjunction in Scripture, but. And what you find after that is interesting. Jesus makes this statement, but he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. This is not some kind of chance encounter. This wasn't something, there wasn't a detoured route like 71 has been this past week. It wasn't that. Jesus intentionally meant to go through Samaria. There was a reason. We might call it a divine appointment of God. Jesus went to Samaria for a reason. And you're going to see why that was. He goes to Samaria. For a Jew to take this kind of route is not something normal. The Jews, they hated Samaritans. They thought they were half-breeds. They did not like them at all. They did everything they could to shun Samaritans. Yet this woman that you read about is like many of us today. She was searching for something that the world could not offer. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Look at the text of Scripture. The woman came to the well looking for water which gives life. She was lacking true real spiritual life. She was looking for something. If you look at her life and the backstory of her life, it's messy. Relationship after relationship after relationship this woman has gone through. But you know what? She's looking for something. There was no satisfaction. And oh, how the world tries to find satisfaction in people and in stuff that they cannot find except for Jesus Christ alone. So Jesus intentionally went out of His way to offer this woman something that she could not find anywhere else. He went out of His way to offer her a couple of things that no other person could meet. These needs that she had, deep needs that only Jesus could meet. And I want to share those with you this morning. Four needs that Jesus met for the woman at the well. What were these needs that the woman at the well had? And we're going to look at these this morning. Four needs that Jesus met for the woman at the well. The first one is this. And I want you to understand this morning that God has promised to meet needs. He offers to you the solution to your sin through the person of Jesus Christ. We know that is salvation. He offers you a home in heaven, but He offers you something else. He offers you a meaning and a purpose in this life. Why are we here? What is life all about? The answer is found in who Jesus Christ is and what He came to do. We can find fulfillment in life in the person of Jesus Christ and what He's called us to do. That's what the woman at the well is going to see. Number one this morning, the first need that Jesus met for the woman at the well is this. She needed a friend. She needed a friend. Scripture says a friend sticks closer than a brother. Can I tell you something? Jesus sticks closer than a brother. She needed a friend. Look at the text of Scripture this morning, if you would. Look at verses 6 and 7. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman at the well, she needed a friend. She needed someone who would love her, someone to care about her. And one clue to her loneliness was the time of day that she went to draw water. As the song goes, one is the loneliest number, isn't it? She was lonely. She had no one. Everyone in society, they didn't like her. She was an outcast. And you know that because of the time that she came. She was lonely. And I would say it this today, folks. There are people that are lonely in this world today that no one else in society cares about. We ought to care about them as Jesus did. Jesus met this woman by divine appointment to speak to her about something that she desperately needed. She was lonely. She needed a friend. You read the hour there. Jesus came to the well. He's weary from traveling. He sits by the well, and it's the sixth hour. This is not when people would come to get water. Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman, she comes to draw water. It's the sixth hour. This is right at noon. If you know anything about the day and how the time frame goes for heat, if you come at noon, it's not colder than it is at 8 o'clock in the morning. She came at the hottest point of the day because she knew there would be no one at the well. Nobody would be out there drawing water in the heat of the day. She knew that. That's why she came. She comes. She wanted to be alone. Probably because she'd been rejected by her neighbors. She was an outcast. She came to the well in the heat of the day to avoid the gossip and the stares. She would rather endure the heat from the sun than the heated discussions of those that stood by. Gives you an idea what the woman went through. She would rather endure the sun burning down on her as she drew wild water than she would to stand there and listen to people talk and gossip about her. Was the woman perfect? No. Were the people that were around her perfect? Absolutely not. But this woman, she needed a friend. She needed a good friend. You look at the truth of her troubled past. Look at verses 15 through 18. Jesus brought her past out in the open. Look at verses 15 through 18. And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may thirst." Jesus is speaking of living water. "Nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You well have said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband, and that you spoke truly." Jesus brings it out. This is her past. This is who she is. And the point of it is, all of us as children of God, we have a past. Amen? And it's past if we're a child of God. Jesus Christ died to take care of your past. And this woman, she brings out all. Jesus says, "This is who you are." And the fact of who we are without Christ is no better than this woman. Our sin, it's embarrassing. No doubt when Jesus said this, the woman was caught off guard. This troubled woman, she had a long history of broken relationships, five failed marriages, and a current relationship that was too weak for a marital commitment. Think of the angry and hateful words that she would have heard as Jesus brought to mind how many times she'd been married and divorced. And now the person she's not living with is not even married to her. Think of the conversation she'd overheard with the people around her, the hurtful words, the rejection, the abandonment that she probably went through. Every failure pulled her further down. Until maybe she gave up on the possibility of real unselfish love. But Jesus loved her. Romans 5:8 is one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture. "But God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were sinners..." And it doesn't matter what sinner you were, because you can take any of them in Scripture and put that in there, and Jesus Christ loves them. Doesn't matter if it's a paralytic, or the woman at the well, or the woman caught in adultery. Jesus said this, "I have demonstrated my love toward them." He's demonstrated His love toward you. She needed a friend, and Jesus wanted to be her friend. We see the Lord demonstrating love to her in two ways. He wanted to be her friend. Number one, the first way that He demonstrated love was this, in His walk. In His walk. Verse 4 tells us that Jesus needed to go to Samaria. He needed to go to Samaria. And the reason why He needed to go was there to save this woman at the well. I have been many places in my life, but I have been convinced that some of the places that God has directed me, it's because somebody needed to hear about the gospel. I'm convinced of this. There's always a reason for why God does what He does. It's to bring us in so that we can interact with people that we never ever would, to give them the message of the gospel. Jesus went out of His way to talk to this woman. This was by divine appointment. He goes to Samaria, the last place that a Jew would go. To go from Judea to Galilee, most Jews went a long way around on the other side of Jordan, the Jordan River. They took a more difficult road and almost doubled the 70-mile walk just to avoid the Samaritans. They were so hateful of them, they would go as far out and around as they could. Kind of be like you driving to Sioux City to avoid Omaha, to go to Nebraska somewhere. I mean, that's a long ways out of the way. But they would not go near them. They did not like them. Not one little bit. And Jesus could have done that. He could have gone around. But the Scripture says He went through Samaria. He went through. He cared about this woman. He loved her. The fact that Jesus came down from heaven and He walked on the earth was all because of love. That's the only reason He came. Verse 6 tells us that Jesus walked until He was weary. Jesus was busy. They didn't have cars. They'd walk wherever they went. He's tired. He's worn out. It's been a long day. He sits down by the well. This is all of God. He sits down by the well. And this woman comes. And I can almost picture Jesus sitting there. He knew the woman. He knew her name. He knew everything about her. And she comes to the well to draw water. And Jesus knows the conversation is going to begin. Jesus loved her, and he demonstrated that by the fact that he walked to meet her. He walked to meet her. He didn't have to go through Samaria. Jesus could have said, well, if she wants me, she'll come find me. Jesus went to her. He met her where she would be. Not only did he love her in his walk, but he loved her in his talk. Notice this. This woman is shocked that Jesus would ask her for water. Look at this. And the woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus says in verse 7, give me a drink. And the woman, verse 9, says to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, would ask me to draw water for you? Perhaps you don't know it, but Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. Most Jews wouldn't even talk to them. When the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians, the Jews who were left in Samaria, they intermarried with the Assyrians, the outsiders. So to the Jews of Jesus' day, Samaritans were half-breed. They were half Assyrian, they were half Jew. On top of that, this was a woman. And it's hard for us to relate to this today, but to the Jews of that day, talking to a woman in public was a big no-no. You did not do that. No one did. And no devout Jew would want to be caught dead talking to a notorious person living in sin like this one. Think about this for a moment. Picture the worst sinner you can possibly think. Would you talk to him? This woman had a reputation around town. There's a reason for that. She would only come to draw water at this time. People knew her. They would talk about her. She had a reputation. Everyone knew who she was, but the only person that's willing to talk to her and not about her is Jesus. Let me ask you, are you willing to talk to people or about people? She needed Jesus. She needed what every other person probably had heard of, but no one would share with her. The Lord crossed all kinds of barriers when he talked to this woman, and it surprised her. And it often surprises people when they realize that God has a personal interest in your life. God, why do you care about me? You're willing to talk to me? Notice how Jesus talked to her. He knew all about her. Notice, he says that in the verses that we already read. Verses 15 through 18. He knows everything about her. If Jesus wanted to, he could have said, and this is where you live. This is what you had for breakfast yesterday. This is what you wore. He knew everything about her. And yet, never in the pages of my Bible do I find Jesus criticizing her or condemning her for any of it. All Jesus does is he states the facts. And then he lets her talk. The fact was, she was a sinner. She needed salvation. To Jesus, sin was sin. Still is and always will be. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter if it's a little sin or a big sin. It's all sin. This woman would have needed Christ if it was just one failed marriage or perhaps one little thing here. She needed Christ, just like we all do. Scripture says we stumble, and at one point we're guilty of all. She needed Christ. Verse 10. The Lord begins to tell her about having a better life. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. I've heard of smart water. I've heard of purified water. I've never heard of living water. Does Fairway or Hy-Vee sell that? Living water. This woman is trying to figure out in her mind, what is living water? What are you talking about? What is this? So Jesus speaks with kindness and patience and understanding concern. He genuinely wanted to be her friend. And why did he love her? Let me ask you, why do you have the friends that you do? Why do you take an interest in them? Are they pretty people? Are they smart people? Why do you take an interest in them? Why did Jesus take an interest in this woman? She doesn't tell us whether she was pretty, smart, doesn't say anything about that. All it says is Jesus loved her. And folks, to be honest, there is something that can be said for us today that's kind of critical. We often choose to love people based upon everything external rather than realizing the deepest need that they have is internal. They need Christ. This woman needed Christ. Jesus loved her. 1 John 4 and verse 16 says this, God is love. Love is the nature of God. Praise the Lord for that. Love is part of who He is. He demonstrates that. And we can see the picture of God's love at parents with a love for their new baby. Why do parents love their new babies, little tiny babies, so much? Is it because they wake up every 2 hours wanting to eat? Or because they cry all the time? Or that they fill diapers 15 times a day? And it seems like you change them and they need changed again. Why? Why do good parents love their new babies so much? Is it because they look so good? You know, some babies don't look so good. There was a young man that was talking to his mother one time. And he asked his mother, he said, How did I look when I was born? And at first she said, you look pretty good. Well, she didn't sound too convincing, so he pressed a little bit harder. And she laughed and said, actually, you look quite pitiful. You see, I was born, he says, early, and I weighed 6 pounds. And mom still seemed to be holding back, so I pressed some more. And she said, you look terrible. You were squiggly. You weren't the prettiest baby in the world. And then the truth came out. You look so bad that when people would come to see you, your dad would hold up the name card and point at another baby. He said, even so, my parents love me. But why? Why are any of us able to love anyone else? It's because God has put that love in us. A taste of love that He has for us. Do you need love? Can I ask you today, do you need a friend? Maybe Jesus needs to be your friend today. Number two, the second need that she had, and we'll keep moving. She needed forgiveness. She needed forgiveness. Folks, all of us need forgiveness. The very basis of who we are is a person in desperate need of forgiveness. Jesus truly wanted to give this woman the spiritual water that gives everlasting life. But like all of us, first, she had to face up to the sin in her life. Please listen again to part of the story in verses 10 through 18. Verse 11, the woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. And I can almost picture, he pointed, whoever drinks of the water in this well is going to be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman says in verse 15, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst. And I have to come here and draw. And Jesus says, I don't think you understand what I mean. Jesus confronts her with her past, the truth about who she is. Verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. We know that the woman at the well needed forgiveness. Not just because she'd been married 5 times, not just because she was living out of wedlock. We know she needed forgiveness because everybody needs God's forgiveness. All of us have sinned. No matter how good we think we are, we need forgiveness from God. And God wants to forgive us. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. That's why Christ died on the cross. That's why He took our punishment, so we could be forgiven. All your sins would be forgiven if you receive the risen Christ as your Lord and Savior. God's forgiveness. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God wants to give it to us. Because He loves us. God wants to forgive us. Listen to this. Isaiah 1 and verse 18. He pleads with us, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God wants to forgive our sins. And He will forgive our sins if we turn to Him and trust Him as Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. That's why Ephesians 4 and verse 32, Paul could say to the Christians that were there, all Christians, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, because God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Jesus Christ reached out to the woman at the well with His love and mercy. And that's the way He reaches out to us today. Number three, this woman had a great need of something else. She needed fulfillment. She needed fulfillment. Many people today run around as fast as they can trying to find fulfillment in money, in prestige, in sports, in entertainment, even the way that they look. They look for fulfillment in life. Can I tell you, do you want to have a good life today? Do you want to live the good life? Do you want to have a life of fulfillment? Because fulfillment is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice the scriptures. These people in life today, they live their lives two-dimensionally in a three-dimensional world. It's because they live without God being a reality. Real life is only found in a real relationship with God. And a huge part of this fulfilling relationship is worship. Jesus gave her fulfillment in a personal relationship. Verse 19. The woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive that You are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and You Jews say in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe Me, the hour is coming, and you will neither worship Me on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Lord." Verse 24, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, and when He comes, He will tell us all things." And verse 26, Jesus says this, "I am He." And I can almost picture the woman, "Whoa, this is Jesus I'm talking to?" Jesus says, "I am He who speaks to you." Jesus was trying to lead this lost and lonely woman to living water, to salvation, to faith in Him. And since Jesus showed her that He knew all about her life, she knew that He was somebody special. So she asked Him out of curiosity, "Are You a prophet?" And she begins to answer this. And Jesus basically tells her this. Here's the place of worship. It's not Samaria. It's not Jerusalem. The real place of worship is in your spirit. It's in your heart. Yes, God wants us to come to church whenever we can. But just because your body is here doesn't mean that your heart is here as well. Real fulfillment comes from real worship, which starts in your heart. As Jesus said in verse 24, "God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." We know the truth because we have the truth. The Bible is the only true written word of God. The written word leads to living truth of Jesus Christ. John in verse 4, or chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me."
If you would like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us on Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. We hope that you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton today.